Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Today we're going to talk about an exciting new report about a potential new class of medications that could be available not in the too distant future.
Right.
And it is very much so out of science fiction movies that we've seen.
Right. I've heard about these things, not explained in this way, mm-hmm. but I know that these substances exist. I didn't know they were being used in this way,
right.
and I did not know their mechanism of action.
Yeah.
And so, but they're already being used, so it's not like they're on their way.
Right, right.
These things already exist. They're being used. There are careful, we talked yesterday about scientific studies. There are careful studies,
right.
very systematic studies being done
right.
on these substances.
Right.
So this is not on its way. It's here. And you probably will be hearing more about it in the future.
On its way to a more commonly prescribed pharmacy, I'm sure.
Right, right.
I mean, if it is generalizable in the way that they describe it to be generalizable, man, it's going to be a very popular medication.
Right now, we're in the initial phases of research. Does it work? Does
right.
it work reliably? But then you have a whole process, which usually takes about 2 years to get FDA approval.
Right.
And then you have to move from investigational to therapeutic,
right.
which is another, so that insurance companies will cover the cost.
Yeah.
But it's really an exciting area of research.
As I was reading about this, the first thing that came to my mind, of course, mm-hmm. was a movie called Limitless. Have you seen that movie? I didn't think so. It is a movie about
Limitless.
A guy who takes, there's a pill that you can take and it just makes you smarter and faster and more aware. And
that's, everybody keeps waiting for those sorts
right.
of things. You know,
mm-hmm.
how can I make my memory better? How can
yeah.
I make this better? How can I make my brain work better?
Yeah.
And we're looking for this pill. It's
mm-hmm.
human nature.
Right.
And this class of medications.
Psychoplastogens.
Called psychoplastogens. May be the first step
right.
toward creating medications that fill that sort of fantasy
right.
that we all have.
Right.
We all have seen episodes of Star Trek and those, you know, sort of futuristic movies where they have these sorts of things
mm-hmm.
available.
Right.
This might be the first step in that direction.
Right. So the idea is that these medications help. Well, I feel like as I was about to say it, I was like, oh no, this is going to get complicated.
Right.
So when we think about the way, this will be very quick.
That means it's not going to be quick.
Neuroanatomy. When we have a neuron, we have the cell body, and there's like wild hair, sort of like Einstein hair that comes out of the cell body, mm-hmm. and those are the dendrites. And then we have one long tail that comes off, and that's the exon.
Right.
And then the axons will connect to other cells. And so that's how the cell communicates, is axon to dendrite and so on. That was quick and easy. So these medications are purported to encourage the growth of things off of the cell body
right.
that could turn into either more dendrites or an exon.
Right. The brain is made up of 100 billion, more than 100 billion neurons.
Mm-hmm.
Those things have to connect to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Fluid movement, for
right.
the ability to raise your arm. You can do that because the neurons connect to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they connect via these growths. It's
right.
like it's like the roots of
right.
a plant.
They call them neurites.
Right. And neurites are would precede a dendrite,
right?
You know, it's a new growth that
right.
could become a dendrite.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing is you're trying to force
mm-hmm.
or produce these little growths, these new growths.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are times in our life when this happens naturally.
Happens automatically.
We've talked about it many times
during the first couple of years of life. We have massive growth. Right. And then we have some what they call dendritic arborization, where the dendrites are kind of pruned off that aren't being used very much. And then again, during adolescence, during puberty, we get another explosion of these growths. But then again, they sort of stabilize and stop.
Yeah.
And then we enter into adulthood and we pretty much have what we have.
That's right.
For the most part.
Yeah. Because what happens at puberty, for example, you have this explosion of new neurons, but they have to connect to other neurons. Mm-hmm. And that's what these branches do. If they don't connect, they're going to die off.
They're useless.
Right. And you do that by stimulating them. Mm-hmm. And so for a post-pubescent person, you force the neurons to connect to each other by practicing a sport, by taking advanced subjects like algebra and geometry. Mm-hmm. And all that stimulation produces these connections. Right. So the neurons connect to each other. Well, these drugs do that same thing in a passive way.
Right.
Instead of you going out and doing something 10,000 times to become an expert at it, these drugs do it for you.
Right.
And that's the exciting part of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure that what we will find is that you still have to practice. Right. It's just that you will learn it faster.
It happens faster.
Those pathways in your brain will form faster. But it will hopefully, ideally, I suppose, streamline some of the learning process.
Right.
So that, you know, whether it's a new language that you want to learn later in life, or it's a new skill that you need to learn of some sort, then you will be able to learn those skills much faster.
Right.
Those are sort of the non-clinical, I suppose, reasons why we might use these medications. Certainly they're used, they are going to be used more clinically for people with brain damage and traumatic brain injuries and
that's
some of those kinds of things.
Part.
Especially concussions and some of those things that we know have a degenerative effect over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course we have to talk about the potential benefit in dementia, like Alzheimer's and things like that, where we have a lot of cell death associated with the dementia.
Yeah, when I think about the psychoplastogens, I think about two things. One is cell death. Mm-hmm, you know, there's so many things. Tumor displacement, for example, displaces tissue.
Right.
Too much cerebral spinal fluid displaces brain cells. Damage, any kind of damage, you know, concussion to wounds, anything that damages the brain. These medications offer such promise because you can't make new neurons, but if you can take the neurons you have and make more connections, you're going to get enhanced performance.
Right.
The other way that it helps is that they act on neurotransmitter systems.
Right.
Some of them act on serotonin, some act on glutamate. If you can target a particular neurotransmitter system, you can also enhance performance. Mm-hmm. For example, they're hoping that they treat a treatment for depression.
Right.
Well, that means it's enhancing. It's not producing more serotonin, but it's creating more ways for serotonin to be utilized, more places for serotonin to be utilized.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would help in the mental health arena. So I think there are two wonderful possibilities that these medications, because they make things happen faster.
Right.
That's the exciting part of it.
Mm-hmm. Now that we've kind of talked about the exciting part of this. These medications, as you said earlier, are already around.
They're already available.
And in fact, most of you listening probably already know them. Ketamine.
You've all heard of ketamine with a K.
Sometimes a special K, but it's a drug that's been abused for a while. LSD, ecstasy, psilocybin. A lot of these are the medications, drugs that they're talking about as it relates to these. Ketamine, for example, works on it works on one neurotransmitter, as you were saying just a moment ago. It works more through glutamine, whereas LSD and psilocybin and ecstasy works more on serotonin.
Right.
But these drugs have been around before. Now, I've heard of some former research that was done. I'm sure they're still doing more, but with psilocybin, for example, as it relates to treatment for personality disorders.
Where do you get psilocybin?
mushrooms.
This is the, now I want you to listen carefully. You can get these substances, but you're going to have to go to the street corner and get them from an illegal drug dealer.
And we're going to strongly encourage you not to
and,
do that.
You know, don't, and that's why I was afraid to even discuss this, but we need to. I mean, discuss this topic or present right. this topic, because these substances are already available. Mushrooms, mm-hmm. as teenagers call them, shrooms, okay? Mm-hmm. Psilocybin right. is the active ingredient. LSD, mm-hmm. we all know about LSD, way back in the 60s it was mm-hmm. being used. Ecstasy,
right.
Which is a chemical MDMA. Compound. Mm-hmm. And there's one used in Central and South America called ayahuasca. It's yeah. ayahuasca. Yeah. It's not spelled that way. It's
A-Y-A-H-U-A-S-C-A.
Yeah, and it's pronounced ayahuasca, and it's a combination of two herbs, plants that they use. Mm-hmm. And they use them therapeutically in those countries. Mm-hmm. Of course, they don't have to worry about the Food right. and Drug Administration. So these substances exist. The problem is they've existed as illegal drugs, right. okay, because they have hallucinogenic properties. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But LSD, for example, is being used in microdoses, not mm-hmm. the dose that you would take right. to take a trip, but in tiny doses that has a therapeutic effect. Right. And there are some physicians who are already using LSD therapeutically. So don't rush right. out and get these things because yeah. you think you're going to enhance memory or right. you're going to feel better. Like every medication, these have to be in the hands of somebody. There are many physicians who won't do microdosing because it's another skill that they right. know they don't possess.
Right.
So you have to be very, very cautious.
Look, and the other point to this is, and again, the reason that we're mentioning it is because we're, this is a fascinating area of research, and I think it's great that we're looking back at some drugs or medications mm-hmm. that were
Absolutely.
That have been sort of rejected.
Well, look what's so happening with cannabis today.
Right.
You know, cannabis has been this illegal, horrible drug for
right.
years. Now, all of a sudden, it's becoming a therapeutic compound.
But much like what's been done with cannabis, you know, where you're separating some of the cannabinoid
the
subtypes,
right.
you know, so you have tetrahydrocannabinoid, the mm-hmm. THC that we associate with, you know, the feeling of being high. Mm-hmm. But then we have CDB,
right.
you know, the cannabinoids that are don't get you high, but right. often have same very similar therapeutic effects.
Right.
The same thing is going to happen with these. You know, you're going to take ketamine or LSD or ecstasy, and you're going to they're going to find ways to take out the beneficial parts
right.
of the molecules, and you're not going to there's not going to be the high, they're not going to be the that psychedelic effect mm-hmm. to it, but it's going to have the beneficial effect. So yeah, what they would be doing with those medications that
right.
would the eventuality that would
mm-hmm.
come and be available for people right. on the market would be very, very different than anything that you would buy on the street
right.
corner or anything like that.
That's right. And we shudder in horror sometimes
mm-hmm.
at, well, LSD or this, that. Think of morphine.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
heroin is just the next step. So we have many compounds that we're already using
mm-hmm.
That are plant-based,
yeah.
that have medicinal properties. And
mm-hmm.
so these are... They're no different
right.
than those the drugs that we're already using. So,
right, right. But it's just exciting.
Promising area of research.
That we're
right.
looking at that. Again, not necessarily for the enhancement of other people, for individuals who are already
mm-hmm.
relatively healthy and
right.
that kind of thing, but for those who, you know, are in need mm-hmm. of
right.
enhancement because of injury or because of degenerative diseases and things like that.
Yeah, ketamine has an anti-suicidal
Mm-hmm.
property to it, you know,
right.
who would have guessed, but
right.
yes, caution.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
don't go out and buy it on the street corner thinking you're going to enhance memory.
Bad idea. All right, well
okay.
that is it then for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening, have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.